Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Reentry, the new book by Eric Berger, senior space writer for Ars Technica, SpaceX, Elon Musk, and the reusable rockets that launched a second space age. Eric, congratulations, and we go immediately to Guadalajara, Mexico. It is September 2016. Elon Musk, a well-to-do success for Tesla, is speaking on his vision for SpaceX. It is surprising in that it begins to sound like the science fiction books that I bought in drugstores in the 1950s and 60s. It's about Mars. What does Mr. Musk tell the room, and how do they react to the idea that he's building a space company to leave the Earth? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It's a remarkable speech. It does feel very much like science fiction. He's showing pictures of these spaceships, you know, with dozens of people on their way to Mars, symphonies in space, this grandiose architecture with a fully reusable massive rocket. And it was remarkable because, you know, just a few weeks earlier, his rocket had blown up for the second time in less than a year and a half. And so everyone was sort of thinking this was pretty outlandish. And so I think it was a mixture of audaciousness and optimism, to put it politely. There was certainly a lot of skepticism in the space industry and even in the room around the speech. But at the same time, even back then, more than 8 years ago, Musk had a very strong cult following. And so it was in Mexico, and there were hundreds of people cheering and thronging, and it was quite a scene.
What is striking are the details. Not just go to Mars, but go to Mars to live, to colonize. 100 people at a time, to continue the metaphor is wonderful. The lamp of consciousness, a multi-planet off-world. Why? Because Musk is proposing an extinction event. Is that correct?
I don't think he was proposing an extinction event. He was just thinking about that bad things could happen, right? There could be a nuclear war. There could be a lethal pandemic. There could be, we could get hit by an asteroid. You know, there's all these things that could potentially bring down civilization. So he was saying, look, if we're going to be a spacefaring species, let's get on with it. I think what was outlandish about it is that, you know, even today, you know, 7 decades after the opening of the space age, we've put all of 12 people on the surface of the moon. And going to Mars is, you know, an order of magnitude more difficult. It's extremely challenging. It's not a great place to live. You can't breathe. It's cold, right? The soil is likely toxic. But here he was proposing not to send 12 people to Mars for a few days, but hundreds and then thousands of people to live there and stay there and develop a future civilization on the surface of Mars.
Right. We're going to stay with this because there's some details here that will very much explain Musk's impatience and sometimes rage at the slow pace of reality in the 21st century. He asks calculations from his staff at one point about what do I have to do to build a self-sustaining colony on Mars? And I think the estimate is that he's got to land 1 million tons of equipment or supply, as you say, if you go to sea and don't take along the ability to fight scurvy, you're not going to be successful. You have to take everything. So therefore, he's imagining a fleet of starships or even bigger in an exchange of data and equipment for X number of years. Does he have a timeline in his mind how long would it take to get 1 million tons to Mars?
He said before he doesn't think it will happen in his lifetime. He's 52, so you know he's thinking probably not within the next couple of decades. But yeah, it's an incredible amount of stuff. If you think about over all the years of all the missions that NASA and the Soviet Union and China and everyone else has sent to Mars, you know, we've only ever landed about 2 to 3 tons on the surface of Mars over decades. And here comes a private company saying, no, we're not going to send 100 or 1,000 or 10,000. We're going to send 1 million tons of people and food and infrastructure to Mars. And so that's the vision. 8 years ago, it sure seemed pretty unrealistic.
Yes, more detail. You need fuel to go back and forth. And methane is the preferred fuel, and there's plenty of it to be manufactured on Mars, but that'll take a lot of energy. So we start calculating what? Square kilometers of solar panels? In other words, what Musk is proposing is an imaginary world that is like, it's like SimCity. Remember that old game where you'd...
Absolutely. Was a big fan of SimCity.
Where you'd advance. And he's telling this to a room of people who are, well, where are they going in their imaginations? What is imaginable in 2016 for them? And how do they receive Musk's outline for a movie?
I mean, I think that you could find hundreds of people, thousands of people that would sign up for that tomorrow. I'm not sure they would realize entirely what they were getting into. But as you say, it's to produce methane on Mars, it's a pretty simple chemical process. It's a Sabatier process to produce methane from the constituent elements on Mars. The problem is it takes a lot of energy. And I think the bottom line is that, you know, most of the people going to Mars initially, if not all of them, will be on a one-way journey. And so, you know, they will be going there and making the best of it, whatever it becomes.
And what is important to emphasize is not just Musk's imagination, because all of these details are taken from both science and science fiction. I love the phrase that comes up all the time. If physics does not forbid it, we can do it. Okay, fine. Engineering can do these things. What's important I take away from is that he really means it. And this is going to inform every conversation we're about to evidence. Is that correct, Eric?
Yeah, I think there's been some doubters over the years that what is Elon's real end game here with SpaceX? Why did he really found the company? I think the answer, you just have to take him at his word that he did found it to build a settlement on civilization on Mars. I mean, he was talking about that on day one. He talked about it with early employees, and almost every step he's taken has been toward that goal. You know, much more recently, John, you know, the SpaceX is operating the only transportation system in the Western world that can get humans into orbit, right? Crew Dragon. And they are rapidly taking resources away from that program and putting them into Starship, because they believe that is the future of the company. And Dragon, they view that, or certainly Elon views Dragon as, quote, a dead-end vehicle. He wants a much larger, fully reusable system that's capable of getting people to Mars. And there is no economic mandate to put people on Mars. Like, there's no pot of gold on Mars for a human settlement. There's humans going there can create almost no value in terms of, you know, economic return, right? There's nothing we need to mine on Mars that's not on Earth. The only conceivable reason to go to Mars actually is to set up a second civilization and start to learn how to become a multiplanetary species. And so his actions over the course of 25 years very clearly show that is the really whole intent and purpose of SpaceX.
7 years earlier, McGregor, Texas. There is no Mars ship. There is something called the Falcon 9 first stage. I'm going there. Eric Berger is the author. I'm John Bashan.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.